Welcome to Embrace the Grain Photography Podcast, a podcast focused on all forms of photography and the people who love to create. If you love cameras, analog or digital, old or new, expensive or economical, we welcome you here with open arms. Well, hello everybody, and welcome back to Embrace the Grain Photography Podcast. I'm Sherry Christensen, and tonight we have nobody. That's right, I am doing a solo. We're doing something a little different this week. Jake couldn't be with us because, well, his apartment building had a big fire in it, and he's had to move out for a week or so. You can't really live with no power and no water. Everybody is okay. Excuse me. And Sacha, he is still busy moving. And Larry and I decided, well, let's do something different because he did his review already, which we'll get to in a little bit here. And I'll just do a little bit of a solo show, and we'll call that good. No guests this week. I wasn't very organized, I guess. There's been lots going on in my personal life, and lots of kid wind-ups, hockey's wound up for the year, skating will be winding up this weekend, and then there'll be a birthday coming up. I can't believe my youngest grandson is going to be one. He has started walking, so watch out. He's into everything. Oh, well. The baby stage is ending, and I'm kind of sad because it went by too quickly. Yeah. So what's new and exciting besides all the personal stuff? Well, remember when I said I wasn't going to buy any more cameras? Well, I failed. Oh, I massively failed. Now, it's nothing really expensive or fancy. Well, one of them was, but we won't tell everybody that. Okay, what the heck. I bought a Leica. I joined the crowd. Now, I do have an SLR Leica that I traded Jake for a Nikon F5 for his R3, which I really do enjoy. But I thought, you know, everybody always talks about the rangefinder Leicas, and I thought, you know, I'm getting a little bit older now, and I thought, you know, pretty soon, another 10 years, maybe my vision won't be good enough to give it a try. So I had a little bit of a slush fund and I used her up. I bought a Leica M3 from Paul Reibolt, and it had been freshly CLA'd, so it won't need any maintenance. It's ready to go. I've shot half a roll of film through it, but yeah, so that's exciting. I can't wait to finish the roll and see how good I did. I'm not sure how good my rangefinder skills are just yet. I could have massively failed, but we'll see. What else? Okay. We have a little, it's a very small version of eBay for the local town. Little villages and local town in the area, and it's a bid buy and sell type thing, so it is like eBay with no fees, but it's on Facebook. It's a group, and it's not just camera stuff, it's absolutely everything. Step ladders, tools, house decor, you name it, it's in there. So this box of cameras came up, and I thought, there's a 126 camera in there that I don't really want, but it is in the box. There's Digicam in there. Actually, a really nice Sony one that's got a Leica lens on it. There's a video camera that's a VHS-C, I believe it was, in a hard case. The case is nice, so if the camera doesn't work, oh well, throw that out and use the case. And three film cameras. Now, one is just a plain old Fuji point-and-shoot drop-in cartridge, you know, glove box camera? Is that what you would call it? Car camera? Anyway, it's a 3.8 lens, not a zoom, so it's a fixed lens. So not a bad little camera, and there is a camera, Canon zoom camera in there, and it looks like it's fairly beefy, well-made camera. And on the bottom, I thought, this is really neat. On the bottom, it's got these captions. So it's options that you could put these captions imprinted onto your film, like happy birthday, congratulations, Merry Christmas, stuff like that. And I thought, you know, that's really neat. I actually wouldn't mind trying that out and see how they look on there. And then there is a Canon SureShot in there, and it's the one that you can set your ISO manually. It's the really good one with the 2.8 lens. So I thought, I don't really need more point and shoot cameras. I don't need it. I'll bid a dollar. Yeah, a couple of hours goes by, nobody's bidded, and then somebody else bid. And so I thought, well, I'll put my limit at $10. Well, two other people started bidding, and it got up to $10. I thought, I'll put in $11, and that's my final bid. I won't bid anymore. I won. So I have this box of goodies. And of course, it was a raging blizzard out that night, so probably lots of people were on the internet to bid on this stuff. Nobody went out. It would have been insane to go out. Anyway, sorry for my voice. It's kind of croaky today. Anyway, I made arrangements to go and pick these up a couple days later, and I was excited, you know, like, I hope they work. The guy said he put batteries in the ones that he had batteries for, and they seemed to fire up, but he didn't have a 1-2-3 battery for the one Canon camera. The one with the captions on it took the lithium, more expensive battery. But I do have those at home, so I brought this box home and popped batteries in it, and they all worked. And I charged up the Digicam, and it holds a charge on the battery. And bonus, there was even a SD card inside. And it is a normal SD card, not the proprietary Sony card. So any card is going to work in this camera. And it works. I snapped a couple pictures of the cat, and yep, looks good. All's working there. Come with a nice little neoprene case and the original case and the box. Apparently this camera was bought at Costco. Anyway. Then I looked at the 126 box, and the camera's in there. The box was good. No film inside. Rats. But the box was in pristine shape, and the camera looks like it was hardly ever used. So I might see if I can dig up a roll of 126 and give it a go. Or I might just call it a shelf queen. Who knows? Yeah, and all of the film cameras, they fired all up, and I thought, well, there's this VHS-C camera left. that the kids might have fun with it because there is a tape inside it. So I charged up the batteries, everything charged up. I snapped the first battery, come with two of them, and a nice hard case, a head cleaner, everything you would need. Snapped the battery on, it powered on. Bonus! I thought, man, maybe this will work great. And in about 5 seconds, it shut itself off. I'm like, uh-oh. Well, let's try it again. So I turned it off, and turned it back on, and nothing. So I turned it on and pushed a couple of the buttons. Nothing moved, nothing fired up. It looks like we're probably not going to get this one to work. So I went to pop the tape out, and the button there wasn't working now. Okay, well, I've got power. I powered it on and pushed the button at the same time. It tried to move. Okay, something's wrong there. So I got my trusty little toolkit out and pried the door, and the tape was in there. Got it to open. The tape was in there, but it is jammed. Okie dokie, that could be part of the problem. So being of the generation where I know how to get a cassette out and all this fun stuff, I gently managed to pry the tape out. So I got the tape out, and then I got out my Bic pen and I rewound it a little bit. Now, if you're of my generation, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Then I pulled the tape out and pulled it flat because it's got a crinkle in it. It's not going to go through the camera if it's crinkled. It's just going to eat it again. So I took a piece of scotch tape and made it nice and flat. Now, I've done this before with cassette tapes and they work fine. You just miss a little bit of the audio. And put it back in the camera and try it again. Same thing. So it's not going to power up. Okay, well, one not working out of the bunch, fine. I'll throw that camera out, keep the case and the head cleaner, and I kept the cables because they might fit something else. And I thought, well, maybe I'll keep the batteries because I've got another one here that was mine, and the batteries were toast on them. I only had the power cable left, so I thought, well, we'll try that. And I haven't got around to trying that yet, but the batteries might end up getting recycled here shortly. What else? Okay, well, I'm not done yet. That was just that haul. I stopped in at the thrift store because my daughter says, I need some measuring cups, and the boys could use more jeans if you can find them in there, because I've been lucky finding the little guy's jeans for here on the farm. And I went in and checked the jean section, and yep, sure enough, there's jeans for two of them anyway. And I went back to the kitchen area and measuring cups, good. Do I check the counter to see if there's any film cameras? I don't need any. Do I check? Well, okay, I will go check. What do you know? Two Pentaxes in there. That's right, not one, but two. Point and shoots, again. Pentax SBO with a zoom. It's a nice beefy camera. Good camera there. And then the older version that you can set the ISO manually. Now, they were $5 a piece, and I thought, well, I'll rehome the one at a reasonable price, but I want to keep the one where you can set the ISO manually, because it's, well, and another reason, I like the ones where I can fudge around with the ISO and make it what I want. And it also had a cracked battery door, which wasn't a big deal. Piece of gaffer's tape just held the, it just got a slight crack in it. Well, it is probably 40 years old, so plastic of that era, it could have gotten banged on something and cracked. Not a big deal. Camera still works. Battery compartment was clean. Good to go, right? So everything powered up. Now it looks like I'm going to have a lot of cameras to test out. Now, also spring is approaching. So I will be able to go outside and do a lot more photography with these point and shoots. I hate point and shoots in the house because you have to be so far away. You have no control sometimes over the flash. The Pentax with the crack door, you can control the flash on it. It is a really nice little camera. So I want to keep that one. It was only $5 and it's going to be a nice one to use, I think. So that was my last couple weeks. I've been using the Leica M3 inside to do a little bit of work. I'm kind of guessing on my distances with it because it, once again, it is a rangefinder, and I can see the patch very well because it is the M series, and it has been all cleaned up and such. I do have a lens on it. It is, it's not the nice new Summicron. It's, I get these names all mixed up. It is the older version. It's adapted to it. Not the Summar. It is the 1950s era. I'm sure everybody here is going to correct me right away, but it seems like a nice lens. I'm going to have to get used to it. It has no clicks. So, and it's one where you pull the barrel out and twist it, extend it. It's a nice lens. It's nice and clear. So I think it'll be good. There's just going to be a bit of a learning curve with it. I keep looking down and I don't shoot with my glasses on. So I have to have my glasses handy if I want to check, because I can't, there's no clicks, so I can't feel how many f-stops I've changed it or anything. So that's tricky. I can't stand looking through a camera with my glasses on. Now, I can't read close up. I can see far away just fine. Technically, I do not need glasses except for reading. So I do have old eye syndrome, I guess. So that makes it a bit more challenging. I don't know, maybe after a while I'll save up a bit more money and upgrade my lens. But so far, so good. Yeah. So I guess I will take a small break here and come back with Larry's camera review, and then I'm not sure. I'm kind of winging it today since I'm solo. Anyway, we will be back.
First, let me apologize for my voice. I'm fighting some bronchitis and I'm not sure I'm winning. Anyway, here are a couple of trivia questions for you. Number one, what camera was used to make the very first photo posted on the World Wide Web? Number two, what camera was the first to use Canon's EF autofocus lens mount? I'm sure you're way ahead of me. The answer is the same for both questions, and it's the Canon EOS 650. This camera was released in March of 1987. Wikipedia says it was on Canon's 50th anniversary, and who am I to argue with the almighty crowdsource? The EOS 650 represented a huge gamble for Canon. Like the autofocus Minolta A-mount, which predated the EF by a couple of years, Canon created a brand new mount for its line of autofocus lenses. Looking back after 37 years and millions of EF lenses, we know now that it was the right decision. But back then, I know of several Canon users who were ready to take up torches and pitchforks to storm the headquarters. Luckily, no one was poked or singed. I guess it helped that Canon started turning out good quality EF mount lenses from the get-go. Two zooms and a nifty 50 were available on day one, and nearly a dozen more zooms and primes came to market in the first year. It also helped that Canon's autofocus system really worked well right from the start. Maybe it was all this technology that convinced Silvano De Gennaro of the European Organization for Nuclear Research, also known as CERN, to acquire a Canon EOS 650. He took a picture of a parody pop band made up of CERN employees, whose name in French I won't try to pronounce, on a podcast with so many Canadians in its audience. His buddy, Tim Berners-Lee, asked for a photo for his new invention, the World Wide Web. That's how a picture of the horrible CERN girls became the first photograph ever on a web page. And that was just in 1992. Anybody feeling old? Anyway, the Canon EOS 650 is holding up better than websites from the early 90s. You can tell it is an ancestor of the modern Canon DSLRs. Sure, the curves are a little less curvy, but the big beefy grip with the shutter button and the control wheel are already in place. It's covered with high quality plastic, which on my copy has stood up very well. The EOS 650 in my hand must have lived a pretty easy life before I picked it up at a Goodwill store back when thrift stores still had cameras. It feels comfortably heavy in the hand, and thank goodness there is no rubber to turn to goo. Using a 37-year-old Canon autofocus SLR is a lot like using a 7-year-old Canon DSLR, the newest Canon in my collection. The shutter button is in the same place and it works in the same way. I think I can tell the old camera focuses more slowly, but it's fast enough for me and just as accurate almost every time. The Canon EOS 650 has exactly one focus point, dead in the center of the viewfinder. That works for me because you can half-press the button to lock focus and recompose. You know, I think that's less fiddly than having dozens of points to choose from. I will say that Canon engineers have improved the menu interface greatly over the decades. On the 650, there's no big display and quad button to navigate through the menus. You don't really have menus. What you do have is a control wheel, a knob or two, and buttons scattered all over the camera. They even hid some of the buttons behind a teeny door on the back of the camera, below the film door. In the spirit of full disclosure, the controls are annoying enough that for 90% of my shooting, I just use the auto everything setting and forget it. Luckily, that's another thing Canon got right way back then. The metering and exposure program are spot on. For what I do, there's no compelling reason to shoot in any of the manual or semi-manual modes. Your mileage may vary. The main reason I got this camera was to use my collection of EF lenses. This is the only full-frame Canon that I own. My favorite lens is the 50mm f1.8 Nifty 50. Another beauty is a Sigma EX DG 15-35mm f3.5-4.5. These two make up most of my shooting on this camera. I do want to share this warning. Not all EF lenses will work on a camera this old. Of course, we know the EFS crop sensor lenses won't even mount. However, before the EFS mount was a thing, Canada and some third-party makers released EF mount lenses designed just for crop sensor cameras. I have a Tamron in that category. It will mount on the EOS 650, but it turns it into a brick. Temporarily, thank goodness. It won't focus or shoot. I was excited to try my extra cheap Yongnuo 35F2, but this lens gets along with the 650 even less well. The camera threw a tantrum that required a few minutes in timeout without a battery to remedy. I won't try that again. So should you get a Canon EOS 650? Well, the camera does its job well, which is to hold a good Canon EF lens in front of the film and set the focus and exposure accurately. But there are newer cameras that do that just as well and maybe a little faster, and a lot more frugally. KEH has an excellent Plus 650 for $75. You can find early 2000s Rebels for $10 to $20 on the marketplace. Your uncle might even have one in the back of his closet for free. Will that cheap plastic Rebel feel like a quality instrument? Nope. Will it take good pictures? Yep. If you throw away that terrible 35-80mm kit lens that most likely came with it. However, even though the EOS 650 is not the best bargain, it's cool to have a camera that helped invent the modern internet.
And now back to our show. I'm back! Have you heard enough gear talk today? And it isn't really super knowledgeable gear talk, it's just, what did I buy at the thrift store? Oh, well, it's all fun. I have a lot of fun doing that. But I thought, you know, for this segment, maybe we wouldn't focus on cameras and film and all of that fun stuff. even though this is a photography podcast, I thought maybe we would focus on being more creative. Now, there are tons of genres and everything to create. We can create art, abstract photography, street photography, documentary, landscape, you name it. There are zillions of ways to create. As I'm sitting down here in my little room, looking at the wall at pictures of people have sent me, and I've sent them some as well, I'm reminded of the fact that there are very many different ways to take a picture. And they're all beautiful. They're all extremely different. And I love it. I really do. I went into another thing I like to buy at thrift stores are picture frames. Plain black frames. And or even dark brown ones. And these pictures that people send me, I hang up on my wall down in here. And I'm reminded every time as I'm podcasting exactly why I love it so much. Yeah, it's good to be creative. So one way to be creative is to take us out of our comfort zones. Now, our comfort zones, yeah, it's the same old thing we ever always do. I always jump in the vehicle and go for a drive and take a bunch of landscape pictures. But I've also went on a photo walk that Ilford put on in the city and did street photography, which was really, really out of my comfort zone. I was extremely uncomfortable doing it, but I did it. And I think it helped. So we have a Facebook group. I know, Facebook, groan. Everybody hates Facebook, right? And I admit, on the feeds, there is a lot of crap on there and a lot of ads. However, when you take that away and just ignore that, there's groups. The groups are awesome, or the ones that I go to. I've carefully curated which groups I go to. And we have one for the podcast called Embrace the Grain Photography Podcast. So if you're not a member, go have a boo. There are questions there that you have to answer to join. That helps us keep the robots out. But what we have there, we have a monthly challenge. And it's basically to help get us out of these creative ruts or to give us something new to try. And this month for March, it's ISO 800. Now, what is ISO 800? Take any film. This is a film challenge. It isn't always a film challenge. And shoot it at ISO 800. So you can grab yourself a roll of Ilford HP5, crank her up to 800. There you go. Or you could use a roll of Lomography 800, or Flick Film Aurora 800, or expired. There's got to be expired film out there. Or if you really want to get adventurous, you could go buy yourself a disposable Kodak camera, crack it open, and inside you will find a roll of Kodak 800 that is not expired. So, yeah. I don't know how ambitious you want to be. Just be careful you don't give yourself a short circuit because there are two AA batteries inside. yeah, there's lots you can do there. Even some of the other films out there, like I'm not sure how Superior would do at 800. I haven't tried that one. T-Max. There's tons of them. Or even 3200. Could you bring that down to 800 and see what you get? I don't know how it would work. But anyway, that's what we have going on over there this month. And hopefully you will jump in and participate. If you have ideas for next month's challenge for April, we're open to anything. We've had lenses of the month. We've had try a zoom lens. We've had colors. Like we've had red. It was February red, but it couldn't be hearts. I thought that was funny. excuse me. There's so much that can be open to that. Like, if you give me green in April, I wouldn't be able to do it unless I went and found a blanket or a toy or something, because everything is still got snow and is kind of brown here. But anyway, that is the way it is here. It's different other places in the world, and we are open to these challenges. Like, hey, give us some ideas. But it's a lot of fun, and it keeps it creative and helps out. Now, I'm not sure what else you do that's creative. I know I'm starting to get in a rut with my photography of jumping in the vehicle and going for a drive and shooting the world around me, because I've been pretty much everywhere in the past few years that's nearby me, and I've shot the old barn that's a million times now. The old barn down the road, let me tell you, and the picture that is on the cover of our podcast is starting to get a lean to it, so I should go down and shoot it more just to document how it's going, because one of these days I could drive by and it could be gone. One big storm. So far it's starting to twist pretty good now. The thing has been there for probably 100 years, but yeah, one of these days it's not going to be, and it'll be another one gone. There's getting so few of them anymore. Yeah. What else is new and exciting here? Not a whole lot. So, yeah. Get in touch with us if you want. We have email. If you want to email us, you can do that at embracethegrainphotographypodcast@gmail.com. That's embracethegrainphotographypod... Oops. Nope. I gave you the wrong email. Ah, I'm terrible. EmbraceTheGrainPodcast@gmail.com. That's EmbraceTheGrainPodcast@gmail.com. It's the Facebook group that is Embrace the Grain Photography Podcast. My Lord. Anyway, we also have Instagram and our Facebook group. So if you want to get in touch, that's probably the best way to do it. Here I am umming you to death. I guess that means I'm out of things to say. Alrighty, let's get our socials out, because everybody wants to know exactly where they can find us. So, you can find me on, the Facebook, group, Embrace the Grain Photography Podcast group. You can also find me on the A Frugal Film Project group. You can find me on Instagram at Sherry Christensen Photography. That's SHERRYCHRISTENSEN Photography. I know, it's long. Sorry, I should have thought about that before I did it. yeah. Larry?
My name is Larry Effler. My Instagram handle is Larry Effler. And my Facebook page is Larry Effler. I'm just not very imaginative.
Sasha?
Yeah, so you can find me on as well the Embrace the Grain Photography Podcast page. I post there. I post on the Frugal Film Project as well. And my two personal Instagrams for my digital are Evil Kitten Productions, and for my film it is EKP Film Photo.
And Jake,
You can find me on Instagram at Jake Rose Photo and in the Embrace the Grain Photography Facebook group.
That's great. See you all in a couple weeks. Bye.
Bye.
One more thing before we go. It will only take a couple minutes of your time. And if you would feel so inclined as to give us a rating or a review on your favorite podcatcher, it would really help us out. Thank you so much.